Hello, this is Janet Gowling welcoming you to Love Letters Live, and Lee Gant is back, I'm happy to say. As we stopped the last one, there were so many more stories to tell. There was so much more. You would not think, maybe, that there is so much to talk about on the simple subject, not simple at all, of knitting. It reaches so much. And I just wanted to start. Well, that's for those of you who didn't hear Lee's last Love Letters Live presentation. First of all, I hope you go back and do it. Lee is the author. Lee is many things and is also most recently, as far as public, although there's another book coming out, most recently, the author of a book called Love in Every Stitch. Say the rest of it.
Stories of Knitting and Healing.
Stories of Knitting and Healing. It is wonderful. And I wanted Lee to come back and talk about some of the people she's touched. Now, Lee has brought herself back from some very, very difficult, isolating, dark times through knitting and has reached out to others. I don't even know if you did this deliberately. I think it just happens in the world of knitting that you have noticed people. Start with that, what you just told me about the woman who went into the bin of crocheted items in her church. Will you tell that?
I met a gal at one of my book signings in New York at Namaste, mm-hmm. and she said she wasn't a knitter, but that she was compelled to come to hear me.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and that she volunteered in her church, and the thing that touched her the most was that there's always a box of knitted and crocheted things for the homeless, and that she would reach into the box and pull things out and just be touched by the fact that it wasn't made in a store and that someone actually took the time to make these things for people they didn't even know and then donate them. And there was something about it that just moved her. And she remembered a scarf that her grandmother had made her when she was young, but that she couldn't possibly learn how to knit because she was dyslexic. And actually, Melissa Liebman was there. If any of you knitters who know her, it was wonderful to meet her. But she and I both told this gal, well, of course you can learn how to knit. It's a two-handed sport.
You were saying it's not left brain, right brain.
Right.
It's
two-sided event, and there isn't anybody who really can't learn to knit.
You think
if
that's
it doesn't
true.
Work the way that somebody shows you, you can manipulate to work for you, because mm-hmm. there are people who knit all the way left-handed in the other direction and backwards. So so if you can find somebody to teach you the way it works for you, it will work.
And by the way, isn't that true of teaching people who are dyslexic anyway? There's always a way to teach reading and...
Exactly, yes. Exactly.
So anyone can do this.
Yes.
You just did something that... This is why I need a television moment, because when you were talking about that bin of clothes, of garments made for the homeless, and how she wanted to touch it, you were stroking your own hands.
Yes.
You were rubbing one hand gently against the other.
Yeah.
Because there's such a world of tactile involved here. I know I did the same thing when I was describing. I was scrunching my fingers together at the, and it struck me the exact same value in love letters, by the way. What's so appealing about it, I think, is that whoever gets this garment, whoever gets your love letter,
exactly.
is touching something that has felt the touch of your hand.
Yes.
And,
exactly.
you know, maybe your tears, you've held it to your lips to give it a little kiss before you put it in the gift box to send to this new baby going to be born. You're all over that thing.
Oh, yes.
Yes. It's not distant at all.
And with every stitch that we put into it, there's a piece of us.
And I just realized that's, of course, what love in every stitch means.
There you
course.
Go. Bingo.
How dense can I get? We've been talking for days, and I just have that realization, of course.
It's a little
every
bit of
stitch.
Yes.
Every pen stroke. Yes. Okay. Can we talk about a couple of the people you have touched through knitting? And I'm thinking of the woman who came into the... And your candor, by the way, is so wonderful. Your candor. And it is... Honesty... Truth is always the best fun, I think. Telling the truth is so much fun.
Even if it's painful to do, right?
I'm not saying it's easy, but there's something satisfying about it.
The reward.
Yes. Yeah. And you're smiling. You're saying it's not always easy, but you've got this beautiful, joyful smile on your face while you're saying that, right? Well, I'm saying right because I'm looking at it.
That's right.
Okay. There's something about the way you tell the truth, the way you talked about wanting to get into this woman's heart and physically that you wanted to touch. Talk about her.
Which?
The one who came in and... You said in your book, I didn't know if he was she or she was he.
Oh, Roxanne.
Oh, what a wonderful way to look at somebody where you can't always tell.
Right.
Why couldn't you?
I still see Roxanne every week at my knitting group. So it's been many years. She was the first person that I ever met who was going through chemo and radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And she came
and that
in
she
for
had
knitting
had a
help. Right.
Mastectomy?
So she had completely flat chest and bald head. And I had never seen that before. So I was fascinated and interested
in
her story.
And that's why you didn't know.
Right. Yeah. I didn't know if it, I mean, she had on some bib overalls and, mm-hmm. and first thing in the morning came in. I didn't know who it was. We ended up, I ended up helping her with her knitting project, and she shared bits of her story, and she's come a long, long way in the creative world. She's started spinning and dyeing her own silk fabrics, and now she's weaving beautiful tapestries. So
I'm seeing something else here, too. When she came to you, she wasn't so sure whether she was going to be here for very long.
That's right.
She wasn't sure whether she was going to have it tomorrow.
Right.
And now she's doing things that are looking way forward into the future.
Absolutely. Her creative talent is mind-blowing. And to watch her go from a sick person who, exactly what you said, wasn't sure, you know, what the future was going to hold to living her creative adventures.
What was knitting to her at a time? Picking up a hobby or a project.
She actually already knit, but she had no confidence, and she needed help with some of the finishing, and so I was able to teach her some things that she didn't know, and she kept coming back to sit with me, and we just shared stories, and she.
You said something, and she did talk some about her cancer, but mostly not.
No, she was, I didn't want to, you know, pry too much, although I actually do because I'm nosy, but when I realized that she would rather talk about something else, I just let it go. And then I just thought, as long as I'm seeing her, I would just follow her progression and see where she's going.
But there's something to be said about that when somebody's sick or going through a really difficult time, to do something else means that person doesn't have to spend every moment in that difficult time.
Exactly. And
who wants to talk about how sick you are all the time? It doesn't give you a moment's peace.
Right. She rather would talk about knitting. Uh-huh. So that's what we did instead.
And what about the children that you were teaching? You talked about a group of teenage girls.
Those were probably... Oh, there was a class of the girls.
The one
I had so many, right.
Because you talked about...
I had foster kids as well as the group of the girls that came for lessons. And that was hysteria as these girls were...
But you had one who was frustrated and she was having trouble. Talk about her because I have some...
She actually... when I first met this group, there were actually 16 in the beginning.
How did you get this group?
They were from a St. Joseph Circle of Sisters after school group.
Ah, so this group, that's what I was curious about. They came to you and said, will you teach?
I started phoning around the county and finding places and saying, can I come and teach? And they said, well, sure, we would love to have you. Mm-hmm. There's 16 girls. So I thought, how am I ever going to teach 16 at once? And it morphed into this group of 12. But But what it helped me understand as well is that you, on the surface, you don't always know what's going on.
That's the point.
In some of these kids' lives, and they might appear to be okay when you first meet them, but through the experience of being in a group with their friends and knitting and learning, they start to share bits of themselves. And it's helped me to see people in a different way, that you don't know what's underneath the surface. When you're walking past somebody on the street, and
that's right,
they might be carrying some grief or something that you don't know.
So. And you also realize that no one is alone in their grief or difficulty.
Exactly.
No one.
I didn't have a mind to think about other people for the longest time. So that's why the volunteering and the teaching is all so exciting to me, because that wasn't a part of who I was growing up. It was all about me and take, because I thought the world owed me something. Mm. And in giving something back, I have got so much more than I ever imagined. And that's what
another prize for you in the world of knitting.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's all of the prizes for me are revolved around knitting. So
yeah,
there isn't anything else that I have been doing consistently to make me feel this good.
Now talk about the one girl who was ready to scrap it and she was so frustrated. What was going on with her?
She was in a family situation. She had 12 or so brothers and sisters,
right,
that were all farmed out to foster homes. And her mother lived with one sibling far enough away so that it cost money to call.
She didn't
have her cell phone. She lived with her grandfather, and her dad had to go away to work to earn money. And so it was just a tough story. Eventually she shared, you know, her story through the couple of groups and get-togethers that we had.
Was that helpful for her?
I think so.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Yeah.
The problem is a lot of these groups are transitional, and I never get to stay long enough to see if what I'm doing is working. So,
but there's
I
something
hope
wonderful
so
about sharing these stories and realizing that, first of all, you don't have to be ashamed of it.
Right.
And also that somebody else is going to come along. Everybody comes along and says, me too.
Exactly.
Which is what is so nice about doing this.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons I'm so glad that you're doing this. People say me too. And the strength of that is huge.
Well, I hope that I've at least been able to get the message out that knitting is a tool that for everybody to use, and that give it a try. If you don't like it, that's okay, but know that it's there for you anytime. And if it can change my life and work for me, it might be.
Do you carry something? Do you carry something with you all the time when you go places? You talked about taking a walk through the woods and stopping. And
I used to have to take something with me. The idea of going somewhere without my knitting would be very cause me great anxiety.
Why?
Like a pack of cigarettes or your best friend, I would have to have it. What if I got stuck in traffic and I had to sit for an hour? How could I not possibly?
Oh,
how
so
could I sit without knitting?
It is your self-soothing.
Exactly. Exactly. And
okay.
And now I actually am. I didn't have any knitting with me today, but I did bring a book just in case.
Now you've got another book coming out. Can we talk about? Is that too soon to?
We can talk.
Did
about
I just
it.
Spill a bean here?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
No.
I wanted to know because the cover, when you brought it out, is really appealing. And you said, what did you say? You say
it's a pattern book of knits for girls and young juniors, sizes 6 to 12. For the girls who don't have any patterns already available out there for their age group.
Mm-hmm.
There's teenagers out there who are knitting, and their only thing
available
is our beautiful lacy shawls that
right.
we all love.
Right.
But they don't want to wear the sweaters that we knit for you know, there's the grandma knitting thing again. But
right.
but and the patterns are gorgeous, but they're not what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So I set out to design clothes to mimic what they're buying in the malls and
how
at
do you
their
do that?
Stores.
Okay, so you said you went and you got
a
little dress, or you'll get something.
Or I even snap a picture of a garment that I like. Or actually, I bring my granddaughter, Carissa Clark, is my fashion consultant.
And
so
she's
15, yeah. And she picks out things that she would wear that she likes.
Oh, I see. Good.
So I'll have her photograph it, or if she owns a piece.
I don't know.
I just write the pattern and knit.
I don't know what she looks like from the front, but from the back, she's gorgeous.
Thank you.
That's the cover of your book.
Yes,
right?
She is on the cover of the new book, and the book will be out summer 2016, called Dress Me Up.
Dress Me Up.
But my hopes is that the parents finally will have something to knit that their children, the older kids, will wear, and that hopefully the teenagers themselves will knit the patterns themselves and actually wear them to school or
whatever. How do you go from that snapshot to instructions in knitting?
I like to...
Because you talk about the math of it, and I think, I mean, for me, the math of anything is the most soothing part.
It's the solving of a puzzle that I like. So I draw a little picture that resembles a dress or a sweater or whatever I'm designing, and I find the yarn that I want to use, and I make a little gauge swatch. And then
a gauge swatch means that you take how many stitches per inch so you can figure it out, right?
Because in knitting, all the stitches are put on, the width of the fabric is already determined from the very beginning.
Right.
So if you don't know how many stitches equal an inch, you can't possibly determine how wide your piece is going to be.
Oh, and
right
by the way, I have a question.
Okay.
Depending on how nervous and tense a person you are,
your gauge will change.
Uh-huh. You can have something be a lot smaller if you're
tight knit. Yes, exactly.
Do you tell when you're instructing people on how to knit, do you work that in?
Everyone knits differently, so I will observe the pull on the yarn, and if sometimes, especially the kids, if they're ripping it real tight, I'll make them have to loosen up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in how you hold the working yarn, and everyone has their own way. And so there are loose knitters and there are tight knitters and there are medium knitters. It doesn't matter how you knit. Your way is the right way, but it will determine.
But you have to compensate.
With needle sizes sometimes. So someone might need a larger needle to knit the same swatch that you would knit on a smaller needle. It doesn't matter what the pattern says. You just have to get the gauge.
Mm-hmm.
If you want it to fit the same way the sizes are made.
So. Now you're in one knitting shop now, right?
I am actually
How's this working?
I'm actually at the Village Sewing Center on Santa Rosa Avenue in Santa Rosa.
Okay, so for you people in Santa Rosa.
Right. Uh-huh. And we carry a beautiful section of yarn that's where I walk in and my comfort happens the minute I see the fabric and the colors of the yarn. So we have only one other yarn shop in the town, so it's nice to be able to have it. And yes, I have a once a week drop-in group for anybody who wants to learn how to knit Tuesday afternoons from 3 to 6.
I'm going to come visit you one day. Okay.
Come, I'll teach you to knit.
I know how to knit, actually.
Oh, that's right.
I've done a lot of knitting in my life, but not for the last 40 years.
You need to be knitting.
I know. And I do sew, although I've been a little lazy about that also. And the reason I love it all, one of the reasons, besides the color and the feel and the scent of everything, is that it's kind of instant gratification for people who like that.
Yes.
If you have to wait for a long time for somebody to pay, you want to wait for your children to outgrow a difficult moment that could take 2 years. You have to wait to lose weight.
Exactly.
You know, that takes time. You have to wait. So many things really take patience and time. This takes patience, but in a very short amount of time, you see some tangible results.
Exactly.
Of your effort.
And there is time involved in creating, larger pieces.
But you see it right away.
Each stitch is building a building block on the next one, and you're building
you
one
on top of another. You made an interesting differentiation between sewing and knitting.
Sewing, to me, the machine is in charge, one little slip up and your seam is not going to fit properly. And yes, you can rip it out.
That's what I said, but you can rip it out.
You can rip it out, yeah. but eventually the fabric gives out.
Yes.
Whereas in knitting, you can rip it out and your mistakes can be undone.
Oh, talk about mistakes. You talked about a garment that somebody did with a hole in the neck. Let's talk about how mistakes can be your best. You can't learn anything. You can't learn to fix things if you haven't made mistakes, right?
Exactly. A lot of the newer knitters do that. How do I fix this? Because they make mistakes, and I tell them, keep practice making the proper stitches, and eventually you'll understand how it's working enough to be able to have me show you how to fix a mistake. But until you learn the process, don't worry about the mistakes because we can fix them.
Now, once you make a mistake, if you're using a variegated color, a thickness wool, you won't notice a mistake. I mean, you can pretty much fix that more easily than...
Right. There's a way to duplicate stitch on top of a hole and fix things that are...
This sounds very sophisticated.
Right. But there's millions of YouTube videos on how-tos now. People can teach themselves how to knit online now. I think that's great. But there's nothing like a teacher wrapping their arms around you and guiding your hands for these kids, especially to show them how to do it and be right there when they do make mistakes and show them how.
And there's that concept of a good for you. That's a wonderful mistake.
Exactly.
I mean, there are mistakes of negligence.
Right.
Not that that isn't helpful also, but there are also mistakes of you tried.
Exactly. It's not a mistake. It's just you didn't wrap properly that time,
yes.
but keep going and don't give up. That's my message, is just really don't give up on yourself your knitting or
well, yeah, on yourself and on your knitting, but that's critical. What do you see for yourself from here? Is this I mean, obviously you want to reach more people with this message. Don't give up on yourself.
Right.
Through your knitting.
Right. I don't know how else to get the message out other than I'm not a great traveler physically.
Yes.
So I learned that in the last 2-week tour that we did. So I think the only way to keep trying to get the word out is to keep teaching and to keep
writing
stories.
The stories are wonderful.
And letting everybody know that it's possible for anybody and everybody to receive some kind of comfort from making something with your hands.
Yes. Comfort is huge in this life. You see it in restaurants, comfort food.
Right.
Comfort is what we're after.
Well, food is so quickly gone.
Oh, no, I understand
where knitting will last on and on and on.
Oh, okay. I was just actually talking about the concept of comfort.
Oh.
That's true. What people go for. But the knitting will last. Okay. Good point.
I took it the other way.
Oh, that's fine. Because, you know, that's going to lead into something important here, I think. Food is gone, and knitting will last for a much longer time.
Mm-hmm.
When my granddaughter was born, she got little booties that had little ducks on them. That were perfect in, I don't know how anybody could make stitches so small.
Mm-hmm.
And the tiny little booties for a 0-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And on this was, each booty had a little duck that was maybe a little over a 1/2 inch big. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Little bill and little eyes. And that's 2 generations old. This was from the great grandmother in Buenos Aires. And that was the art form, and that was the I will love you forever.
Exactly.
And it's held up for 2 generations, as have some other things.
And when you touch it, her love is still in it.
Yes, love in every stitch. That's the truth. But they do last for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And if something gets a little moth hole, you can fix it.
Exactly. Or you can still just love it the way it is.
Oh, that's true, too. Oh, yes. Oh, if you're going, that's right. If you're going to be part of a child's life forever, you be the one to knit the minky.
There you go.
The blanket, you know, children have a favorite, and it has their scent, and it has their feel, and
That's right.
Oh, you just opened up a whole new area.
Where that came from.
Well, because you see children, little 2-year-olds dragging around the blanket that they won't let go of.
That's right.
Somebody knitted that for them.
That's right.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Knitting. The tip of the iceberg of a whole bunch of feeling and healing and recovery. And I hate to be a total Johnny One Note here, but the same value as love letters. And by the way, you can put all that love on a video cassette and send it. You're not going to know, you're not going to have anything to play that on in another, well, 20 minutes, you know, in another, it's not going to last. Knitting a knitted garment is one of the best information storage systems there is.
Bingo. Yeah.
Bingo.
There you go.
Oh, thank you for coming back to do another one of these with me.
Thank you.
Every time we talk, I see like a whole new area of the reach of a hand knit object, and different than something that's hand sewn. You're right.
It's a little bit different. I do think it is.
Yes. Thank you, dear.
Thank you so much.
Until next time, I'm a little dizzy with all this joy. This is Janet Gallen saying goodbye. I will talk to you all soon.